Waxman said typically the military withholds payment on 55% to 75% of costs that Pentagon auditors challenge. In this case, the Army is only withholding payment on about 4% of the contested charges. The White House today praised a second review of possible security risks in the deal that will let an Arab company handle some key operations at six U.S. ports. Senate Republican leader Bill Frist urging colleagues to wait and see the outcome, but some senators are planning to try to block the plan anyway. Senator Charles Schumer says he's a little dubious about this second review. He says the panel did a very cursory review when it first approved the deal, letting United Arab Emirates Company take over operations at six seaports. And Schumer says the panel focused more on economic development than national security. The Bush administration point man for hurricane recovery says there are many, many needs the government simply can't cover. The Washington Post today reports private charity spent two-thirds of the $3 billion collected for storm victims. That could limit efforts to pick up the slack for the government. The Red Cross has shelled out some 84% of its storm donations. And what remains is mind-boggling. One official says it could go well beyond the nearly $200 billion cost of government aid for rebuilding infrastructure. Meanwhile, newly released documents suggest internal battles may have cramped the Red Cross response to Hurricane Katrina. Correspondence and whistleblower complaints made public today include a warning from late 2001 in which one Red Cross board member told the chairman the infighting was a threat to future relief efforts from future hurricanes. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We will get to the hardcore reason that this program's on the air here in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, just a quick shout-out to everybody who came to the graveyard in Atlanta Saturday night for Democratic Underground local meeting, meetup, greeting, lots of good food, lots of booze, lots of really nice people. Kathy and I got invited to go to this, and we did. Saw a lot of people that we had met before from the Atlanta area Democrat Underground group, and also some new faces too. I had everybody sign a list of who was there. I'm trying to remember, Cotton Bear was there, and Mr. Cotton Bear, and M.G. Krebs, and ATL Techie 77, and who else is there? Ruby Doobie, and I mean, it just goes on and on. The Vaughns, Jimmy, of course, Catwoman was there, El Cid. Who else was there? A couple of new people. The dentist, that was Michael, right, Kathy? Michael, the dentist who took all the pictures? Somebody new to Democrat Underground. Niraj was there, Marty, Caleb. It just goes on and on and on. What a good group of people. We really thank the Democratic Underground people in the Atlanta area for inviting us. And we had a great time. Everybody just, good food at the graveyard. It's a good place to go, good restaurant. And, the booze is real good too. And lots of great conversation. It's nice to meet people and chat on a face-to-face basis like that, right? The next place that I've been invited to go, and this is not Democratic Underground, but it's in Madison, Wisconsin, and then at Whitewater, Wisconsin. I'll be there for 2 days, 14th and 15th of March, through our station in Madison. And also, University of Wisconsin Whitewater campus to give a little conversation, little talk. So, to the Democratic Underground people who invited us, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun. We appreciate it. CBS News, if you watched it tonight, which I did, I believe everybody's in New Orleans because it's Mardi Gras, and tomorrow is Fat Tuesday, but all the anchors were down there, at least ABC and CBS. I didn't check out old Brian Williams. I can only stand so much crap. But CBS, one of their, if not the lead story, it was in their A block of stories about the latest CBS News poll. It says Bush's approval rating has fallen to an all-time low of 34%. 70% of Americans are opposed to this company in Dubai taking over operational control of six, actually it's more like 20, major U.S. ports, including almost 60% of Republicans who say they're opposed to the agreement. And not very good news for poll watchers like Bush and Rove. Well, Rove, Bush doesn't care. You know, he lives in his little dress-up world. He has no idea what's going on. But Karl Rove doesn't like that at all. So look for something terrible to happen in the next few days or few weeks, something terrible. Although, the terrible thing is this whole United Arab Emirates taking over U.S. ports because they're taking over or they're buying a British-owned company that now runs the ports. This whole story is so distorted. It's so crazed. It's so wacko. And it's so Karl Rove. Oh, my God, it's so Karl Rove. I don't have any firsthand knowledge about the royal family that runs the United Arab Emirates. By definition, these are kind of like kingdoms, although the people in the citizens of the United Arab Emirates just personify global capitalism, the so-called free market capitalism, the idea of unrestricted trade. They run port operations all around the world. The whole thing, like I said, the whole thing is nonsense. The whole thing is nonsense, just complete nonsense. It is a Karl Rove plot. As I mentioned in the blog at Air America Radio on the Molloy page today, this is like a Three Stooges routine. I mean, it really is. Rove knows that Bush is toast, and he also knows that Bush is going to take down the entire Republican Party. A lot of people think that Rove is strictly a Bush freak. Well, you know, he may. I mean, the Bush family has been where he's found refuge for two or three decades now, at least part of the Bush family. But his real interest is leaving a legacy. Rove, Bush doesn't give a damn. But Rove wants to leave this thousand-year Reich legacy, even if it doesn't last a thousand years, at least for the next few election cycles. So Bush is toast. I mean, politically, he's gone. He will wind up on the board of directors of a couple of oil companies or the Carlyle Group or whatever. And he will make millions upon millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars until he gets old and dies. End of story. That, you know, this is just a typical Bush oligarch story. There's nothing to see here. Move on. You know, there's just nothing here to see. But what Rove has done is given the Republicans something against which they can kick and push and con the American public. Once again, the Republican Party now has an issue. They are going to save the Americans from the nasty Dubai Arabs. The nasty Arabs from the United Arab Emirates. This is so slick. Isn't it slick? And of course, the dumbass Democrats are jumping on board, as they always do. You know, you take a look at the leading Democrats, who should know better. They should know better, but there they go. Now, I'm not suggesting that if this company, DP Ports or whatever it's called, if it does take over, and it will. Right now is just a cooling off period. Let the news media move on. Let the Republicans come up with their campaign issues. Let the Democrats stomp and kick their feet and pound the floor a little bit. Let's have a 45-day review, cooling off period. So trust me, it's going to happen. There's no question. It doesn't matter that 70% of the American public are against this deal. Come on, get real. What, 70%? Means nothing. This is a Bush crime family. Oh, let's take a vote and see how many people like this, how many don't like. Oh, okay, that'll really influence us. No, it won't. The deal is done. It will go through. The United Arab Emirates is going to run the ports in question, 6 of them, or 10, or 15, or 21. Take your pick. It's a done deal. But the only reason it was done this way was to give the Republicans something to kick against so they can retain control of the House and the Senate. This gives them a chance to say, well, see? I'm not just a Republican who does anything Bush tells me to do. I love America. I'm defending the homeland. You see how easy this is? Oh, Jesus. Now, I know I'm not the only one that sees this. I know I'm not. And yet, all over the Internet today are great essays by people I really respect who are taking this seriously. Oh, yes, if Dubai takes over our port operations, bombs are going to come in, and anthrax, and terrorists, and booger bears. Ah! Which maybe they will. But that's not the point. The point, this is a Karl Rove operation. You do see that, don't you, Truth Seeker?
W's got a mission, W's got a plan, W's got a pistol, it's burning in his hand, cause he's turning the world into one big Texas.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's 21 past the hour. Again, I just toss it out there. I'm surely to God I'm not the only one because I'm not that smart. I'm not the only one in who keeps tabs of the Bush crime family who realizes that this is a Karl Rove operation. Look at Rove's handiwork. It's such a simple plot. Here's Raisin Brain, President Chucklenuts. He's been flip-flopping so much on this port issue. He hasn't been this confused since he found out New Coke was a soft drink. Poor guy. Oh, poor Georgie's told by his handlers that the Arabs are good guys and his pappy's bestest friends. And then they're dirty terrorists and have to be killed and bombed. And now they're the bestest guys again. And he's got to consult the evil doer of the day calendar that Rove and Condoleezza Rice made him just so he'll know which brown people are on the bad people list that week. Jesus God, you got to hand it to Karl Rove, though. He'd throw his mother under a bus if he thought it would ensure the future of this neocon, neo-Nazi philosophy that was perfected by, well, it was invented by Lee Atwater and perfected by Karl Rove. Oh, Christ. And then late today, I watched a little bit of the Senate hearing. Susan Collins, who's chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, she was right in the middle of her hearings today when word came out that the Coast Guard had told Bush, the Bush crime family, that the Coast Guard, was unable to determine whether the company based in the UAE might support terrorist operations. Right? The Coast Guard said, well, we don't know. We don't have any intelligence on any of this. And this is on the hearings on DP World's plans to take over the operation of these ports. So Senator Collins, who's the chairwoman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, went into recess and then released an unclassified version of this document that the Coast Guard had put together some time ago that said, here's just a sentence from a quote, "There are many intelligence gaps concerning the potential for DPW assets to support terrorist operation that preclude an overall threat assessment of the potential merger," whatever that means. I don't know. Now, the interesting thing is the Coast Guard indicated to the Associated Press on February 10th that it did not have serious reservations about this deal. When the AP first inquired about potential security concerns. So the Coast Guard 2 weeks ago said, "Nah, everything's cool. You know, what do we care?" And now they're saying, oh, wait a minute. We told the Bush administration. So you see what's going on? God, is there anything these incompetents can do without this kind of a situation? Think of it. Anything. Has there been any operation that they've been able to put together, political, social, tax-wise, anything, and make it happen in a way that doesn't reveal them to be just total jackasses? Is there anything? No, there isn't. Nothing. And now this. And now this Dubai thing. But you know, the United Arab Emirates, I mean, if ever there was a country in the Middle East that is a complete 180 from Jordan and Saudi Arabia, even though it sits on the Arabian Peninsula, and Kuwait and Syria and Iran and Iraq prior to the invasion. There it is. I mean, the UAE, it's all about absolutely unrestrained, unrestricted capitalism. It's a meritocracy. They are not hamstrung by this psychopathic Muslim religious nonsense. Jesus, don't put a fatwa on me. I say that about all religions. They all suck, okay? So here is Dubai, one of the major cities, one of the major parts of the UAE. And it's this gleaming little jewel of capitalism plunked right in the middle of all this insanity in the Middle East. You know, the insanity of the Israelis, the insanity of the Arab governments, the insanity of the little kingdoms and fiefdoms and royal families and bomb throwing and murder and death and mayhem. And here's UAE. Hi, we're just here to make money. Now, did a couple of the terrorists call the UAE their home? Yeah, if you buy the terrorist story of what happened on September, sure. Did they support QA or AQ or ZB Khan, wherever this freak was, who spread all kinds of nuclear technology out of Pakistan? Yeah, okay. So what? Tell me a country on the planet that doesn't do that. I mean, people in that country don't do that. Oh, Jesus. This is just business as usual. Was money wired to Mohammed Atta the day? Yes. So, if you buy the official story, I mean, the whole thing is a rat's nest of lies, double dealing, and fraud. Why? Because it involves the Bush family.
You're one macroscopic cog in his catastrophic plan design.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. We're talking about right now, anyway, the Dubai or the UAE ports deal with the Bush crime family. And again, I maintain that this is just another Karl Rove operation. It is so obvious, or else I've gone so far around the bend after 5 years of the Bush crime family, I've become completely and totally mad, which could very well be the case. I never deny that I might be insane. I think I'm sitting in a studio in the foothills of North Georgia Mountains doing a radio show right now, but I might not be. You know, I could be driving a truck across Wisconsin right now. Who knows, right? You make your own reality. But in the reality that I seem to be living in, this is just bat squeeze. Every bit of it, the whole UAE thing, the whole port thing, it's nonsense. This is a Karl Rove operation, purely and simply. This gives the Republicans, see, the Republicans can then say, well, you know, when the security of our nation is at stake, we'll even stand against the President of the United States, even though he is a God-fearing man, and even though he stops the queers from getting married, and he won't let the 13-year-olds get abortion every time they go out and get laid and get their little fannies pregnant. You know, we love him, he's a good man, but, you know, fill in the blank. And then come November, when the election, don't forget that most Americans sucked into this black hole of Karl Rove's demonic mind. Most Americans honestly believe that the Republicans are better at providing defense against terrorism when it was a Republican administration in control when this country was hit with terrorists. But you see, this is the genius of Karl Rove and this corrupt, filthy, whorish media we have in this country. All of it! All of it! So the idea has been cast firmly and deeply into everyone's mind that the Republicans are the ones that protect us from acts of terror, when it was Republicans who allowed the only major act of terror to occur in this country on such a scale since the War of 1812. It's incredible. And you wonder why I sit here and say, oh, well, I must be insane, or else I'm right. It could only be one of the two. This is a Karl Rove operation. Jesus, God, why is that so hard to see? Why do we all, not me, not you, but why does everybody go running off, just like Chicken Little, every time Rove pulls off an operation? Oh, they're going to get our ports. The Arabs are going to... Jesus Christ, come on. How many tricks does this freak have to, trick bags does he have to put us in before, Mike, remember the color-coded terror bar? Yeah. Remember all the elevations of, oh, it's orange, oh, God, it's yellow, no, it's red, right before the election in 2000-whatever? Oh, Jesus, and now this. Oh, God, help us. The United Arab Emirates are going to run our ports. Oh, Jesus, here come the bombs and the anthrax. No, the bombs and the anthrax comes from the Bush crime family. They are the ones who engineer terrorist attacks against this country. Jesus, why is that so hard to understand? Let me see a show of hands. If an Arab terrorist wants to bring a nuclear bomb into the United States, what is he going to do? Is he going to come through the port of New York or New Jersey or New Orleans? With a container that any freak with a Geiger counter, whatever the hell they use now, can go click, 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 click. Oh, my God, there's something nuclear in here. Or... is he just going to put it inside a Cadillac Escalade and drive across, oh, I don't know, any place along 2,500 miles of unprotected border between Canada and the United States? Oh, Jesus, will you people stop being jerked around? And once they get into this country, then what? Well, let me see the map there, Ahmed. Okay, take a left here, take us right to Chicago. All right, thanks a lot. Here we go. Oh, for Christ's sake. Oh, they're going to get our ports. Oh!
I'll save you. I'm a Republican member of the Senate. I'm going to have hearings. I'm going to have hearings. I'm going to call in witnesses. By God, I'll put a stop to this. Even if it means the president of my own party, I will put a stop to this because I believe in the sanctity of the United States of America.
So here we sit, right? You and me and Bob Schieffer and Wolf Blitzer and the editorial writers in the New York Times and all the bloggers all around the internet just shrieking and wetting their pants and running around. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And Rove sits here and goes, damn, this is fun. Jesus, this is fun. I never knew it could be this much fun. You know, when Lee Atwater was laying there dying of brain cancer, all weepy and crying about how he had screwed up the American political system, and I was in the room and listening to him, and he turned to me and he said, Carl, now listen, I know you've been my acolyte and my, you'll pardon the expression, my altar boy, but I don't want you to continue my legacy. Please clean it up. And I stood there and said, yeah, okay, Lee, have a nice death. Bye. Jesus. I'm Bill Frist, and I'll save you from those dangerous A-Robs and still have time to video diagnose all brain-dead comatose victims within a 3,000-mile radius. Yes, because Jesus leads me. Oh, my God. So when did the story break, Kathy? I think we mentioned it last Thursday in passing, didn't we? Did we say, oh, look here? And I don't mean anything by this because, you know, I'm one little tiny voice at the bottom of the well. But all of a sudden, then, over the next 4 or 5 days, oh, my God, the hand-wringing and the shrieking and the press conferences and the interviews and this and that. Oh! The UAE is taking over our ports. We're all doomed. Oh, my God. For what it's worth, Dubai is a showcase for global capitalism, unlike anything, with the possible exception Hong Kong, before the Brits turned it back to the Chinese. They have a commitment to fighting terrorism there that most Americans don't even know about in the UAE. Why? Because they're not about religious horse crap. They're about making money, for God's sake. They're like Bush. Bush doesn't give a damn about Jesus. He doesn't give a damn about Iraq. He wants to make money. He wants all the money in the world. So do the emirs of the UAE. In December 2004, Dubai was the first Middle East government to accept this piece of useless legislation in this country called the U.S. Container Security Initiative. That's a policy to screen all containers for security hazards before heading to America. Who was the first guy? Dubai! In May 2005, they signed an agreement with the Department of Energy to prevent nuclear materials from passing through the UAE ports. It installed radiation-detecting equipment. In October 2005, the UAE Central Bank directed banks and financial institutions to tighten internal systems and controls to guard against money laundering and terrorism financing. The UAE doesn't give a rat's ass about Islam. Or Osama, or Saddam, or some bearded mullah that wants to live in the 12th century and still own nukes. They don't care. They're more interested in international or global financial markets and stock markets and what's the price of oil. And hey, let's build another gleaming tower. And hey, let's make some money. I need another 64 Cadillacs. Jesus God, are we this stupid? Yes. Yes, we are. I don't know. It's
It's almost like a waste of time to point this stuff out. And I'm not getting arrogant on you. I'm not. But it is. I mean, I would think, honest to God, I would think that so-called liberals or progressives or people who hate the Bush crime family to the extent that I do, that you would have figured this out in the first 20 minutes. All right, the first 24 hours. You know, do a quick scan of the UAE-American relations over the past 3 or 4 years. Go back 10 years, 15 years to Harkin Energy and BCCI and the Bush crime family and the guys who run the United Arab Emirates and look at the business relationship. Oh, Jesus, but no, you won't do that, will you? You'll listen to the hysterics and you'll look at all the news people and the press conferences and you'll go, oh, they're going to take over our ports.
Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Thanks a lot for the ride home.
Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
security. This deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security for the United States of America.
I say, preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the earth. I know you don't.
It's about 10 before the hour. Okay, starting to get the emails now. Pat in Sacramento says I should drop the topic or at least go to general lack of port security versus Bush is supposedly a good on terrorism president. I'm not sure I understand that, Pat. Pat goes on, I can't believe many agree with what you've been emoting. I personally think the ports, like railroads and airports, should be controlled by the U.S. government and all others kicked out, including UAEs. Well, of course. Well, of course, absolutely I agree with that. But I also think that manufacturing jobs never should have been outsourced. Thanks to Republicans, thanks starting with Pappy Bush, let's start with Reagan, Pappy Bush, Bill Clinton, and Bush the Piglet, they have ruined, absolutely destroyed our economy. But as far as port security or port operation or I don't know who gets to blow the horn when a new boat comes in, hell yes, it should be under U.S. control because it's a U.S. port. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, all this scare tactic is a bunch of crap. And then I get this from Webmaster at P. Quinn. It says, I emailed you near the end of the show, 1 a.m. Eastern last Friday, knowing that you wouldn't read it until the weekend, if at all. In that email, I told you of the very simple realization I just had about the whole port thing that you basically went over in the first half hour of your show tonight. I in some way like to think that I was at least a catalyst for this, but probably not, nor does it matter. I'm just glad that someone said it. I'm in a wheelchair and don't work, so my entire day consists of playing a video game, reading blogs, and listening to Air America in the background the entire time. Mike, not one person mentioned this. I thought I was nuts. Thank you. Well, I don't have a name here, so I don't know if you're man or woman or what your name is, but I don't remember getting that email. I'll have to, but I've got 600 that are waiting to be read. I just can't get to them all. But thank God you, Webmaster, that you had the same idea. Thank God a few people out there are able to see this. You know, and I'm not advocating, I don't advocate that refrigerators owned by American companies should be made in Mexico. They should be made here. I don't believe that electronic components for all of our toys should be made in China. They should be made here. Jesus, I sound like Lou Dobbs. And I don't believe that foreign companies should control the operation of our ports. That should be done by American companies. What does this mean? Does this mean there's not a company in America capable of running a U.S. port or able to do it at a cost that is acceptable to the shippers and the container industry? Nobody screamed and bitched and foamed at the mouth when it was a British company that said, okay. How many people do we have locked up in Guantanamo who are British citizens? Oh, I know. They all have Arabic surnames, so that doesn't count, Mike. Bush and Rove and Cheney and Rumsfeld have played us for suckers, y'all, for the past 5 years. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? So when a deal like this comes out, you know, don't email me about, I've got it all wrong, that American companies should run America ports. Well, no kidding. Of course they should. But in the age of globalization, thanks, Bill Clinton. Thanks, Pappy Bush. Thanks, Chuckle Nuts. In the age of globalization, you know, some country in Lower Slobovia might run our ports. That's the problem. It's not who runs them. It's the fact that somebody else does. The Bush crime family is directly linked to the Osama bin Laden family, which is directly linked to the Saudi royal family, which is directly linked to the royal family or the Emirates that run the United Arab Emirates. So it's a big old circle. Don't you see that? It's a huge daisy chain. And who are the suckers being had? Who are the suckers being had, huh? Is it the bin Laden family? The ones that got spirited out of the country after 9/11? No. Is it the Saudi royals, the ones that got protected? No. Is it the Bush crime family? No. Who's getting suckered? Who's getting suckered, truth seeker? I am. And you are. That's who's getting suckered. Do I sound pissed off tonight? I'm not, no more or no less than any night when something like this has had about 4 days to percolate now, and you sit back and you connect the dots. Jesus, I'm starting to hate that term. And you take a look. You have to go back, way back to ancient history, you know, back to the middle 80s. That's like 1,000 years ago. And do some research on the BCCI banking scandal and Neil Bush and the Bush crime family and the royals and all these Arabic countries and globalization and trade and all the money, and you connect the dots and you put this over there and you put that over there, and all of a sudden you realize, Jesus Christ, you're kidding me.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. Minute on Air America Radio.
There's one thing you can say about Duke Cunningham. He didn't come cheap. On Friday, a defense contractor, Mitchell Wade, pled guilty to showering the disgraced California congressman with $1 million in bribes. The request came courtesy of Cunningham's bribe menu. The bribes included an 1850s-era commode, Persian rugs, a Rolls Royce, and two silver candelabras, all used to feather Duke's nest in San Diego. He demanded lavish trips and meals at expensive restaurants. Cunningham got a yacht, nicknamed the Dukester, and sold his house for $700,000, more than it was worth. In return, Wade's company earned over $150 million in government contracts, courtesy of Duke's seat on the House Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. Both men now face over 10 years in prison. The Justice Department called their actions a stunning betrayal of the public trust. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The European Union is approving emergency aid to the Palestinians to prevent what they called economic chaos. The EU has agreed to send $143 million in urgent aid to Palestinians before Hamas takes over the government. The French foreign minister says the EU is worried the Palestinian Authority could be paralyzed if funding dries up in the aftermath of last month's elections. Both the EU and the U.S. consider Hamas a terrorist organization. Today's aid package will pay for utility bills, health and education projects, and paychecks for Palestinian Authority employees, including tens of thousands of security forces. Israel already has stopped payments of taxes and other fees tied to Palestinians who work in Israel. The U.S. Coast Guard warned the Bush administration weeks ago it could not determine whether a United Arab Emirates-based company seeking to run some U.S. port operations might support terrorist operations. That disclosure during a hearing today on Dubai-owned DP World's plans to take over the port operations. The Coast Guard told the Bush administration the proposed transfer of U.S. port operations to the Arab firm might carry unknown threats. Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairwoman Senator Susan Collins says that Coast Guard report suggests what she called significant and troubling intelligence gaps. The AFL-CIO and the nation's largest teachers union, the National Education Association, announced a new partnership today that could help the Labor Federation regain some of the clout it lost when several unions defected last year. The 2.8 million member NEA agreed to allow local affiliates to join the AFL-CIO. The hope is the AFL-CIO would give teachers more muscle when they campaign for political candidates and push for new laws. But the teachers' union leader says that's not a prelude to a merger of the NEA and the AFL-CIO on the national level. 11 cities have now shown interest in playing host to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. That's twice the number of cities that applied to get the 2004 gathering. The DNC initially sent out letters to more than 30 cities, giving them an overview to try to find out their level of interest. Some of the cities in states like Florida and Arizona, New York, Los Angeles also included, the 2008 Democratic Convention scheduled for August 25th through the 28th. This is we
Welcome back. Okay, just a couple more comments on my part here about this Chicken Little hysteria about the company for the United Arab Emirates. Then we'll take some phone calls. The number here is 866-303-2270. Here's a myth. And I'm going to give you a myth and then a fact. Here's a myth that this whole Dubai ports thing, the purchase of the British-owned company by the company based in the UAE to run 6 American or 10 or 21 American ports or whatever, that this has only recently happened, just now being made public, that's the myth. Here's the fact. Back on November 29th of last year, DP World announced its intent to purchase P&O. That's the British company. Even before the official announcement, the press was reporting on the possible transaction back in October. And according to this, between October 2005 and January this year, there were at least 162 mentions of this transaction in the press. So why did it just come up? Well, let me give you a reason. Bush, 34% approval. Now, this is better than having them aim some kind of missiles at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, isn't it? Anything. Bush can't get reelected. Bush can't do any more damage than he's already done. But the Republican Party needs their issue. Hello, here it is. Myth. No foreign state-owned firms operate terminals in U.S. ports. Oh, Jesus. The China Overseas Shipping Company. You know, China, the company that says they will use nukes if we try to stop them when they decide to take back Taiwan as one of their provinces. You know, China! China's... China Overseas Shipping Company, a state-owned firm that's owned by the Chinese government, which means it's owned by the Chinese military, has a joint operating agreement with U.S. Stevedoring Company in Long Beach, California. Eagle Marine Services, which operates terminals in Seattle, Los Angeles, Oakland, is owned in part by the government of Singapore. You know, Muslims. The Yang Ming Marine Transport Company operates terminals in Tacoma and Los Angeles. It's owned, in part, by the Taiwanese.
Ooh, the UAE is going to run our port.
Do you know who operates both ends of the Panama Canal? China! Jesus, God, people! Saudi Arabia already controls terminals at 9 American ports. And that little bit today with Susan Collins getting her girdle in a flap, huh? Oh, the Coast Guard said that this port company in the UAE, there's intelligent gaps. The Associated Press began,
citing broad gaps in U.S. intelligence, the Coast Guard cautioned the Bush administration weeks ago that it could not determine whether the United Arab Emirates-based company seeking a stake in some U.S. port operations might support terrorist operations.
But according to powerlineblog.com, if you continue reading that article, you find this. The Bush administration said the Coast Guard's concerns were raised during its review of the deal, which it, the Coast Guard, approved on January 17, and that all those questions were resolved. The Coast Guard said the concerns reflected in the document ultimately were addressed. In a statement, the Coast Guard said other U.S. intelligence agencies were able to provide answers to the questions it raised. But we didn't hear about that on Bob Schieffer tonight, did we? And besides, Jusica, the terminal operator isn't responsible for security, okay? It's worse than that. The Coast Guard, the Customs Department, and the Department of Homeland Security are responsible. In other words, incompetent operations run by the Bush crime family. The UAE has not a damn thing to do with it. And according to powerlineblog.com, it isn't clear
that this change in corporate ownership from the British-owned company to the UAE-owned company will have any practical impact on the people working in the various port facilities. In the Chicago Tribune, David Wagner, chief operating officer of the Port of New Orleans, said, quote, "People working on our docks for P&O, the British company, were the same as those working for Transocean Terminal operators and will be the same for the next company. They're all Americans." With respect to security, Mr. Wagner said, quote, "Ownership by a Dubai company is not really a relevant issue." And then we have Hillary Clinton. Gateway pundit notes a change of position on the part of Ms. Clinton. She's highly critical of the UAE port deal, right? Have you seen Hillary out there with Schumer? Clinton said, "Now these choices reveal a disheartening pattern of the ideology, influence, and incompetence that we have seen. And they violate our values and our interests. Now, I don't claim the Democrats are always right, but we are far more likely to make choices that reflect the values and advance the well-being of the American people." Really? As one of the writers at Powerline Blog points out, after that value violation tirade, why did the media not ask Hillary about the Saudi-run U.S. ports? Huh? What about that? As the blog Sweetness and Light pointed out, the National Shipping Company of Saudi Arabia already runs 9 ports here in the United States. Hello, Senator Clinton, what about the Saudis? If you remember, Senator, 15 of the 19 bombers that came to this country on September 11, 2001 and wreaked havoc and death and destruction, if you believe the official story, were from Saudi Arabia. And it was back in 1997 when Hillary Clinton was serving as co-president, remember? The Saudi-owned shipping company, the National Shipping Company of Saudi Arabia, began service between North America and Italy, Greece, and Turkey. It just proves that the Clintons have evolved a long way since 1999 when they claimed that port control was silly stuff. And in 1999, when this Chinese-owned country took control of ports at both ends of the Panama Canal, the White House, the Clinton White House, laughed at the security risk. The official statement was, quote, "Clinton White House spokesman Joe Lockhart dismissed the story about Chinese port control, including the Panama Canal and the surrounding controversy, as, quote, silly stuff," end quote. The Chinese now own 90% of Panama Ports Company, that is a lifeline of U.S. trade. Of course, that was then, and this is now. Karl Rove was not in control in 1999. He was getting ready to take control. It's just, are you figuring it out, Truth Seeker? Are you? Surely you are. You are tonight, aren't you? Or you did over the weekend. Or you did last Friday. Or when the story came out, you did some research, and you found out, wait a second, this whole story's bogus. Wait a second. Not only is the story bogus, but Bush has got, he's in the mid-30s approval. They've got to have something. They've already attacked. They bombed the country and made everybody rally around Bush to the tune of 90% approval rating. They did that. They already hijacked airliners. Or said they did. They already butchered 3,300 people in this country. They butchered 100,000 Iraqis. They butchered almost 3,000 Americans. What's left? Oh, I know. I know. Let's bring up the smoking gun might be a mushroom cloud scenario again. Only this time, it's right here in the port of New Jersey. Oh, Jesus.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
For a peace, free, and future, it's Mike Malloy.
See, while we're all a Twitter about this Dubai ports thing, the House of Representatives is voting this week on a so-called national food uniformity labeling law that will take away the power of local and state government to require food safety labels. Like those required in say, in California and other states,
On foods and beverages, they're likely to cause cancer or birth defects or allergic reactions or mercury poisoning or whatever, right? Or this growth hormone that's been added into, shot into cows, so they overproduce milk. And if you're feeding your children milk that is not organic and certified everything free, which is what we're doing with Molly now, now that she's no longer nursing, then you're poisoning your own children. So it's just, you know, this is what we ought to be focused on. All this stuff that this filthy, degenerate crime family has done to us here. No, we're talking about this freaking UAE port deal. Jesus, we are so through the looking glass. I was thinking about some of the crazy things going on in this country earlier today. Just kind of tripping. Maybe there is something in the food and water. The Supreme Court is taking up late-term abortion and the Anna Nicole Smith case. Jesus Christ. The neocons are protesting the fictional film The Da Vinci Code. And vampire author Anne Rice has turned into a Jesus freak. I'm losing my mind. And so are you. Speaking of losing our minds, I've just got three quick hits here from Scott McClellan on the ongoing saga, or smokescreen if you prefer, of the Dubai port issue. Today's briefing reporter says, Scott, let me ask you about this port investigation, the 45-day compromise to have an investigation. Can you explain a little bit how that came to pass, what the White House view on this is? Because the White House said the president did not support any further review. So how did this come to be? And do you think it's enough to sort of quell the storm in Congress here?
First of all, this is a congressionally mandated process. Congress put this process in place when it comes to foreign transactions. And the Committee on Foreign Investment thoroughly reviewed this transaction initially, and there is an intelligence assessment that was done early on. I think they were looking at this for about a three-month period, is what Deputy Secretary of Treasury Kimmett indicated to members of Congress last week in one of the hearings. And there are safeguards that are put in place. It was closely scrutinized. The president believes it should be allowed to move forward. At the same time, we recognize that Congress would like additional time to look at this transaction and have the facts, and that's important too. So we welcome the middle ground that was reached here with congressional leaders.
Yeah, right. And Rove is sitting in the John somewhere reading the crossword puzzle magazine and licking his pulpy little lips over his latest handworks, right? Better to throw the boss under the bus than have him impeached by a Democratic Congress, right? See, Rove knows! You know, Rove was given control. Save the dumb bastard. Whatever you do, save him, Carl. Save the dumb little bastard. Because if the Democrats do get control, they're going to crucify him like they did Jesus and Nixon. They're going to nail his useless ass up on a cross. Carl, do something!
Oh, well, let me see. I know. The Arabs are going to take over our ports. Woo!
Oh, my God.
Now, that's the idea. Let me go back to my evil little lair, my spider's web, to cook up how we're going to do this. I know it was already announced 5 months ago. Maybe I can get my friends at the New York Times or the Washington Post to break the story yet again.
Next reporter, Scott, what are your comments to the unexpected support from Julian Bond in reference to the president's port deal issue?
I actually haven't seen his specific comments. I think someone had forwarded that to me earlier. But I think that we've spelled out the reasons why we believe this transaction should move forward. United Arab Emirates is a strong and good partner in the war on terrorism. General Pace spoke about the military-to-military cooperation that goes on with the United Arab Emirates. It is superb, he said. He says that the United Arab Emirates has proven to be a very, very solid partner in the war on terrorism. It is a country where our aircraft carriers use their seaports. It is a country that has given us access to their airspace and their airfields for our Air Force. And so it is a critical partner in the war on terrorism.
And we're going to need to use it as a base when we nuke Iran. and Rumi sold arms to Saddam, and the Bush crime family is in business with the Bin Ladens, so it kind of gives a fresh meaning to partner in terror, doesn't it? Nothing new here, boys. Move on, move on. So my good friend Julian Bond, and he is my good friend. I've known Julian for 35 years. So my good friend Julian Bond, gosh, I'm going to have to call him tomorrow. I think he's still in Charlottesville, Kathy. I'm going to call him up, say, Julian. So you figured it out too, huh?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and if you're as sick of the Bush crime family as I am, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com. And when you get there, you're going to find the board game that's taking America by storm, Impeached. Whether you play games or not, Impeached is a must-have item that serves as a constant reminder by exposing the crimes, the greed, and the stupidity of George W. and his hoodlum cohorts. ImpeachBushGame.com only offers anti-Bush merchandise, including the Bush Voodoo Doll. Buy your game today at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of Scott McClellan's press briefing today. Here's the last one. Last bit of duckery on this port issue. The reporter says, Scott, are you saying if this port deal goes south, we're going to lose United Arab Emirates as an ally in our war against terrorism? Is it directly tied to this port deal if this deal goes south?
No, I'm just pointing out that you also have to look at it in the broader foreign policy context. The president believes it's the right principle and the right policy. Now, let's keep in mind, this is not about port security. The Coast Guard and the Customs and Border Protection will continue to be in charge of port security.
Gee, it makes you wonder why all the Bushies ignored the warnings from the Coast Guard against this port deal, right? Well, they didn't, you see. The Coast Guard said, okay, it's all right. Okay. If the Bush crime family cares so much about security, wouldn't they want to listen to the valid concerns and reservations of our own Coast Guard? But they did. The Coast Guard said, see, this is how it's being reported. And the Coast Guard said weeks ago.
We checked it out through other sources, and it's okay. Go ahead and do it.
Jesus. See, how are you supposed to know up from down? Or right from wrong, or black from white, or truth from lies, or justice from injustice with these freaks. Karl Rove needed an issue. This is it.
He led the others with a quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. He led the others with a quack, quack, quack. Down to the river they would go, wibble wobble, wibble wobble, to and fro. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with the quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. He led the others with the quack, quack, quack.
That's not waking Molly up, is it? Okay. That's from a CD sent to us by Teresa, our lovely New York bureau chief. One of the songs off that we thought is very appropriate to Karl Rove. All right, look, the bottom line here, as far as I'm concerned, I hate the fact that our ports are run by foreign companies. They should be run by American companies. Okay, that's a given. Business in America should be run by American companies, shouldn't it? The outsourcing, the globalization, this monster that has ended decent jobs. I was reading an article, I think it was in today's or maybe Sunday's New York Times in the business section, about the people who work at Caterpillar in the upper Midwest, and how the unions agreed to a two-tiered payroll situation. The older guys that have been there for a while, they're making, you know, 28, 29, 30, 40 bucks an hour with benefits. The new guys coming in are lucky to make $13 an hour. And the unions agreed to this. And they agreed to it because Caterpillar threatened to close the factories and move out of the country. It's very simple, isn't it? So as far as the UAE, I couldn't give a tinker's damn about the UAE or the British company that's been running it, or the Russians or the Chinese. That's not the issue. The issue is it should be run by American companies. It's also the issue that Karl Rove is using now in order to give the Republicans something to push against, because if the Democrats get control of the House of Representatives this November, George Bush is going to be impeached and removed from office. He's going to be impeached. If the Democrats get control of both the House and the Senate, he will be impeached and removed from office. It's so simple. So this is Karl Rove's ploy. Re-release the information that was put out there 6 months ago about a company owned by the royal family or the government, whatever the hell you want to call it, United Arab Emirates, that they are buying a British company that happens to own the port operation rights to six American ports. Actually, it's more than six. But where is everybody when the truth of the Saudis running nine American ports or the Chinese running the Panama Canal or ports in California? You understand? Doesn't that click in your head? Doesn't that make the ball bearings in your head go clunk, clunk, clunk? And the safe spins open when you realize that this is not a real issue. It is not. But it's trumped up as an issue by Rove and the Republicans and the Democrats and the media. In the meantime, you and I sit back here with our thumbs in our noses going, oh, gee, well, I don't want to be nuked. I don't want a container nuke to come into my country and blow me up. And the Arabs are going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. No, they're not. Not that way, anyway. You better get in touch with the Natural Resource Defense Council. Just go to the Google. Go to Google and look it up. You know, please don't email me for a web address. Natural Resource Defense Council, the NDRC. You need to go there. And do what they're suggesting that you do, because the U.S. House of Representatives is about ready to gut the most visible Consumer Protection Act out there, and those are the labels on our food. There's a vote coming up March 2nd. That's this week, isn't it? On a bill that will gut state food safety and labeling laws. Hundreds of state laws and regulations are at risk, according to this press release, including those governing the safety of milk, fish, and shellfish. The bill is being pushed by large supermarket chains and food manufacturers, spearheaded by the powerful grocery manufacturers of America. That's right. They manufacture groceries. They don't catch them or grow them. They manufacture them. It also says big food corporations and the biotech industry understand that consumers are more and more concerned about food safety, genetic engineering, and chemical-intensive agriculture, and are reading labels more closely. They understand that pesticide and mercury residues and hazardous technologies such as genetic engineering and food irradiation will be rejected if there are truthful labels required on food products. Yeah. Nobody wants to eat something that'll cause cancer and birth defects and allergic reactions or mercury poisoning, right, Truth Seeker? All the more reason for the Bush crime family and its many tentacled cohorts to say, well, it's time to get rid of food labeling. Do something. Do something. Go to the Natural Resource Defense Council website. They're waiting for you. Natural Resource Defense Council website. They're waiting for you. Do something. Screw Dubai. Trust me, don't worry about the port deal. It's a Rove shadow box game. But this is something that you need to know about. The National Uniformity for Food Act. Isn't that so nice? Clear Skies Initiative. Oh, George Bush is so nice. The Healthy Forest Act. Oh, look, there's Bambi. The National Food Uniformity Act. Oh, that is so sweet. Trust me. No, don't trust me. Trust your own research. I had some smart ass send me an email tonight and said, oh yeah, there goes Mike Malloy. Right again, Mr. Know-It-All. Well, you dumb bastard, do your own research then. What are you listening to me for anyway? You could be spending this time finding out what they're going to do to your food labeling, and no, you're tuned into this program. The hell is wrong with you? Just kidding. Okay, let's do some phone calls. Oh, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll do some phone calls. The number here is 866-303-2270. And other than our reading from 1984, it'll be phone calls for the rest of the program. So if you're not online and would like to get online, go right ahead. My name is Mike Malloy, and this is Air America Radio. There's a cat in the kettle of the Peking moon, the place that I eat every day at noon. They can feed your cat and you'll never know, once they wrap it up in dough, boy, they fry it real crisp in dough. Chowlin asked if I wanted more, as he was dialing up his buddy at the old pet store. I said, not today, I lost my appetite. There's two cats in my belly and they want to fight. I was sucking on a rolling in a Tums or two.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just golden coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
I'm thrilled to be here in the breadbasket of America because it gives me a chance to remind our fellow citizens that we have an advantage here in America. We can feed ourselves.
Yeah, well, not for much longer. We're turning over all the factory farms to the UAE.
All right, let's do some phone calls here. Paul is calling from South Lyon, Michigan. Is it Lyon? Paul? Okay, well, we can just sit here and wait. There we are. Paul? Okay,
you got me, yes. Hi.
Yeah, is it South Lyon, Michigan?
Yeah, South Lyon, Michigan.
Welcome to the program, Paul.
Thanks. Well, first of all, this monstrosity we're living in, I want to... The man that actually seeded it was a bastard named Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He created this mess. And he actually created a situation with the media where we end up with a Hitler-style news media that turned too many Americans' minds into mush. And he seeded this monstrosity. But anyways, you're right. This thing is it's just a bit because the Republican Party and conservatism is dying rapidly in this country, and they're doing everything they can do to keep it afloat, and they could never win an election anymore without the debolt machines and illegal election returns.
Yeah, the latest straw man is the United Arab Emirates. Karl Rove is a genius for doing this, and we Americans are so stupid and so ignorant and so inculcated now with 5 years of fear. You know, the Nazi handbook said if you want to control your population, always emphasize this external fear. And this is where we are. And if people get pissed off when I sit here and say Americans are stupid and I shouldn't be the only one saying this, and I'm probably not, my answer to that is, oh, grow up.
Yeah, but actually conservatives right now, they really deep down, they know they're being had, but they're like... But they've gotten to the point now, they're like a spoiled child that when they don't get what they want, they start lashing out at everybody and everything around them.
Yeah.
It's exactly how conservatives are now. They really realize they're being had, but they can't psychologically, because their immaturity level, they can't psychologically deal with it. So what do? They'll lash out. And these people, they're actually, it was tragic because of the Reagan... back, you know, 20 years ago, when the Reagan administration engineered this monstrosity with a Hitler-style news media propaganda machinery, these people, they're not capable anymore of they shut down everything as far as people being able to have this country is just you have to do your own homework.
Mm-hmm.
People that recognize and do their own homework, you can understand reality. But these people are afraid to deal with reality, and if you cannot use your evidence and senses, do your homework. It's going to get you killed.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what has been so shocking to me over the past 3 or 4 days is to see how many otherwise clear-thinking liberals or progressives or Democrats have just gone for the bait, have just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, you mentioned Clinton's too. Clinton's are part of the oligarchy.
And sure. Certainly Hillary wants to be. Don't forget, Bill Clinton was a very and I'm just using the terms here. This is not necessarily what I believe, but Bill Clinton was painted as a well-educated hillbilly. Hillary, on the other hand, you see, she's from the Chicago area. She is from the upper Midwest. She ain't no hillbilly. So if either of those people are really aspire to be part of the oligarchy, it is Hillary. Now, Bill may make it because he has figured out that all he has to do is goose George Bush Sr. a few times, and put his hand on his knee at the appropriate moment and be a good little field hand. He's going to get some of that money too.
Well, Bill was a brilliant guy. He was he was no hillbilly, but he was a brilliant man. But he was part of the oligarchy. He played, and you can go back to the early 90s when both parties were tripping over themselves to push that evil thing called NAFTA. They sold out America, both parties. You know,
yes.
They were both agents of the international corporations. Both parties were the agents for that. And
everything is being subsumed to corporatism, to a system where there are two levels in every society, the owner class and the peasant class. We are going back to feudalism at warp speed, And I don't know why people don't understand that. Yeah. I know most people, not most people, a lot of people do understand that, but the average working stiff just still doesn't get it. You know, they still think that they're going to wake up and the Rust Belt is going to magically turn back into this huge engine of production that drove this country for 100 years. And it's just not going to happen.
Can I ask you one more question real quick?
Sure.
Why do so many liberal talk show hosts are so hung up on they want Hillary Clinton for president?
I can't figure it out.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
They don't recognize that she's a part of it.
Well,
I don't understand it, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. I'm glad you checked in. Thanks. Thanks for calling, Paul. Take care. Take care. Hey, Lynn is calling from Atlanta. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Lynn?
Okay, good. I feel like it's real hard to get the full depth of how paranoid we actually need to be. We just keep not being sufficiently paranoid. So when I heard you say, you know, that we're being misled about the ports deal because it's a way to give the Republicans some way to push back for the next election, then I thought, you know, wait. They got that lined up already. They have the machines rigged. They don't need that.
Well, wait a second. Lynn, do me a favor. I got a break. Hold on. Stay right there. Don't hang up. I'll come back to you right after the break, and we'll pick this up, okay?
Okay.
All right, stay right there. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back.
America Radio.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the phenylketonuric, though. Mm. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Ooh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The European Union is approving emergency aid to the Palestinians to prevent what they called economic chaos. The EU has agreed to send $143 million in urgent aid to Palestinians before Hamas takes over the government. The French foreign minister says the EU is worried the Palestinian Authority could be paralyzed if funding dries up in the aftermath of last month's elections. Both the EU and the U.S. consider Hamas a terrorist organization. Today's aid package will pay for utility bills, health and education projects, and paychecks for Palestinian Authority employees, including tens of thousands of security forces. Israel already has stopped payments of taxes and other fees tied to Palestinians who work in Israel. The U.S. Coast Guard warned the Bush administration weeks ago it could not determine whether a United Arab Emirates-based company seeking to run some U.S. port operations might support terrorist operations. That disclosure during a hearing today on Dubai-owned DP World's plans to take over the port operations. The Coast Guard told the Bush administration the proposed transfer of U.S. port operations to the Arab firm might carry unknown threats. Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairwoman Senator Susan Collins says that Coast Guard report suggests what she called significant and troubling intelligence gaps. The AFL-CIO and the nation's largest teachers union, the National Education Association, announced a new partnership today that could help the Labor Federation regain some of the clout it lost when several unions defected last year. The 2.8 million member NEA agreed to allow local affiliates to join the AFL-CIO. The hope is the AFL-CIO would give teachers more muscle when they campaign for political candidates and push for new laws. But the teachers' union leader says that's not a prelude to a merger of the NEA and the AFL-CIO on the national level. 11 cities have now shown interest in playing host to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. That's twice the number of cities that applied to get the 2004 gathering. The DNC initially sent out letters to more than 30 cities, giving them an overview to try to find out their level of interest. Some of the cities in states like Florida and Arizona, New York, Los Angeles also included, the 2008 Democratic Convention scheduled for August 25th through the 28th. This is Air America Radio News. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Before the break, we were talking to Lynn in Atlanta, and let's go back to Lynn now. Where were we, Lynn?
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of can't picture how we're going to ever get suspicious enough. If anything, we have just been so unbelievably naive, and I start with the assumption with Rove that I know that he ran the campaigns for the opponents of Carnahan and Wellstone.
Mm-hmm.
I know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put it past him.
Really? Were those Karl Rove operations? I didn't know.
So both of those, he ran both those campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so then when you were talking about the ports deal and how that's a way for the Republicans to have an argument, a way to fight back, I'm thinking they don't need that because they got the machines, they got the whole thing rigged. DeLay's going to win with 25% of the vote in Sugar Land. I mean, I don't have any question about it. You know, I know what's happening in Georgia. People that try to investigate the connection between the Secretary of State and Diebold have gotten death threats. And somebody involved in those machines in Colorado, death threats. Okay, so, So then I'm thinking, oh, well, you're being, oh, my God, I can't believe Mike Malloy's being naive in thinking what you are. But when you mentioned about the food bill coming up,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, okay, they might have the election all sewed up already, and they don't need this for the election. But it is a massive distraction for anything else they want to run past people.
Well, that's the usual tactic of the Bush crime family is to, wave their hand over here while they're running a shiv in your rib cage over there. But I disagree with your point here. I think I'm getting your point that they don't need, Karl Rove doesn't need this kind of a scam because they already control the voting machines. Those voting machines are getting challenge after challenge after challenge. We don't know what's going to happen between now and November. Let's assume that everything stays in place and the machines continue to crank out false results, 2%, 3%, 4% in favor of the Republican, which usually swings the election. Wouldn't it give them even more cover, though, if once again the Republicans can come up with this lie that Republicans are the ones who provide America with security, Republicans are the ones who are concerned about national security and the military, when just the opposite is true. Republicans urinate all over the military and don't give a tinker's damn about national security. But it all of a sudden, if Rove can produce an issue, and here it is, to make the Republicans once again appear to be something that they're not, voting machines are superfluous to the fact that the American public, being the cowardly little whiny-ass sheep that we are going to go running and scurrying to vote for Republicans because, oh, my God, look, the Arabs control our ports. I'm sorry, I just believe that, Lynn.
I accept what you're saying, but I guess for me I thought, oh, my God, then that means maybe that the election system still works a teeny bit.
Well, I think I think it does still work a teeny bit. Not every vote cast in every election in every precinct in America is cast through a Diebold, filthy, lying, corrupter of democracy machine or an ESS machine. Or in a lot of places, still use a punch ballot voting or checkoff voting. So the idea, if you can use fear and terror to get the people in the precincts that do not use Diebold to vote in favor of your candidate, then in the precincts where you do use Diebold, you can cheat your ass off and nobody can ever prove anything because you can say, but look, over here in precinct X where they don't use machines, my man won because my man is much better at protecting America. You get my point?
Right. Right, yeah, no, I really do hear. I think it's just amazing how we are really dealing with so many shell games running at the same time.
That's the truth.
That we can't almost get down deep enough to the level of, almost beyond Machiavellian stuff that they're doing.
Know.
So I'm listening to this discussion with you, and I'm thinking, are we suspicious even enough that anyway, but I do hear what you're saying, and I do hope that there's some value in going to vote, and I do hear exactly what you said about that food bill going through, and certainly see the value that they, you know, the what they're doing there.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank you for the paranoia, which is not paranoia.
I hear you. Lynn, I'm just as confused as you are. Listen, thanks a lot.
Let me just say this, Mike. I'm the Buddhist that's written you, okay?
So right.
You'll know, okay?
Well, thank you. Thanks for checking in, Lynn. Take care. Bye. Yeah, she's right. There's so many shell games going on. Jesus, she can't keep track anymore. I mean, here's Karl Rove, whose boyfriend has been banned from the White House, or he got found out. Me love you long time, Jeff Gannon. All those trips into the White House where Rove, not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. Don't give your computer or your radio that nasty look. Oh, Malloy's queer bashing. No, I'm not. But Rove is getting frustrated, you know. There was the paper trail, all those visits, all those overnight stays to the White House by Jeff, me love you, longtime Gannon. So he's pissed off. So once again, Rove comes up with one of his trickery, treachery, lickery, lechery schemes. This time, it's the Dubai ports deal. Ooh. This is, I got to read this email. This is from Ronaldo in Chicago. He writes, in reference to one of your callers, exactly which liberal talk show hosts are saying they want Hillary Clinton for president? I can't hear a single one express such sentiments, nor do I personally know a single liberal who even wants her to run. I think it's the right-wingers who are hoping and praying that Hillary will run and be nominated by the Democrats because they see her as the Democrat they can beat. For this reason, Ronaldo writes, it's actually the right-wing radio talkers and the corporate news media who are constantly hyping her as the, quote, Democratic front-runner, end quote. I say the hype is false, a mere mirage, and I, for one, hope like hell that Hillary does not run for president. Ronaldo in Chicago. Well, thanks, Ronaldo. I appreciate your comments. I think, on the other hand, any Democrat that feels he or she can has a chance, make a run in the primary. Yeah, I get your point. I agree. I don't know what liberal pundit on radio has declared Hillary the, you know, what the hell is a front runner? Is that the person that has the most money? If it's the person that has the most money, oh yeah, okay. That would be Hillary. Or the most commitment for money. But the wouldn't you think the person who would be considered the front runner would be the person who has the best ideas? Okay, I guess there have been some polls taken. Is that it? Have some polls been taken that show among what, liberals or Democrats or progressives or Americans that show Hillary to be the front runner? I don't know. I just don't think that Hillary Clinton is a Democrat. And if you disagree with my assessment, then send me an email and tell me what she stands for that is the core value, a core value, or two or three or four of the Democratic Party. That's all. I mean, there's no point getting into a bitch fest about this. You know, no point screaming about whether or not Hillary is this or Hillary is that. Look at her positions on stuff. That's all. Does she come closer to a liberal Democratic point of view or closer to a George Bush point of view? That's all. Look at the record. Look at her position on stuff. Oh, that's right. She's pro-choice where it concerns abortion, so that must mean she's a liberal. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean a damn thing even remotely close to that. Look at her record. Look at every candidate's record. That's all. Look at how they vote. Look at what they say. Front runner my ass. That's a term made up by this whore media that we have. Now, I realize it's not a new term. It's been around for a long time. Usually a front runner is somebody who is in the middle of the primary process and has collected the most delegates so far in the run-up to the convention. It's not the person that's collected the most money. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I forgot. We're Americans. We're the dumbest collection of fake voters ever assembled on one continent. Excuse me. Get away from me. American woman, mama, let me be.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Does your vacuum cleaner earn its keep? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL is so powerful it cleans the world's finest hotels, yet it uses one-third as much electricity as most other uprights. Try my Orrick XL risk-free, and I'll give you my $100 cordless iron as a gift. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Nobody works harder to give you more value for your money than I do.
Up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
And if you want to know another story that is being wiped off the front pages, go to democracynow.org. Who sent me this? Gerald. You know, I've been picking up a little bits and pieces of this, too. The Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, what is happening there. There's been so much attention focused on Guantanamo and the torture methods we use there and the murder we commit there. You and me. That it's shifted now to Afghanistan, where it's even more lawless, more out of control, more out of reach of these filthy Nazis that run the United States. According to democracynow.org, at least 500 people are being held at this base in wire cages. Some have been detained for up to 3 years. They've been charged with no crimes. They have no access to lawyers. They're barred from even hearing the allegations against them. Officials describe the jail's conditions as primitive. Jesus Christ, if they're talking about primitive in Afghanistan, can you imagine what it's like? So, I for you folks who have your Bermudas in a wad because I'm taking the position I'm taking on this Dubai thing, I don't know what to tell you. You know, just go ahead. I mean, just wear yourself out on the Dubai UAE ports operation nonsense. Go ahead. Just use up all your energy, okay? Get out there and really rant and scream and defend the United States against the terrible Arabs who are going to run our ports. Jesus God, some of you people are just never going to get it until they finally come and put you in a cage. And you'll sit there and go, oh, Jesus, how did this happen? Man. All right, back to the phone calls. Steve is calling from Utah. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
All right. Hey, you know, I know wherever armies go, the camp followers are always pretty close by. And I have a question. When our all-volunteer Christian Crusader heroes get all worn out from butchering and torturing, isn't Dubai one of the places they get sent to get drunk and fornicate?
I have no idea. I really don't. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just don't know. You know,
yeah.
I'm not surprised at anything anymore. Where it concerns this phony war on torture and all the players involved in it, whether they are Muslims or Christians or Jews or Hindus, you know, the whole thing is just a huge scam that I'm so sick of. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand. But over the weekend, I heard one of the spokesmen for the White House say that at any given time, there were 70,000 military people in Dubai, and it's a big military base. And I know every military base I've ever seen outside the gate, there weren't churches lined up outside the gate.
You're right. I understand what you're saying, Steve. And you're probably right. I'm just saying I don't know squat about it. Yes, wherever there's military bases. I made some reference the other night about U.S. Navy ships putting into ports in the Philippines and everybody rushing on shore so they can get laid. And somebody of Philippine descent emailed me all pissed off like I said something that was out of line. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, please, for God's sake, you know, I don't label Filipino women as prostitutes. They do that themselves. I don't label American women who live near military ports as prostitutes. They do that themselves. And it has to do with the oppression of women. And it has to do with the wage disparity of women. And there's an awful lot of male prostitutes. You know, again, who knows? Who cares? But But you're right. You're right about if Dubai is a port where American troops are sent for R&R, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's a nookie being sold there to these battle-hardened soldiers as they come, you, no pun intended. All right, listen, I got to leave it there, Steve. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, I showed you that email, Kathy, from somebody of Filipino descent, got his pants all in a wad because I just stated something that was true. I don't cast any blame on anybody or any responsibility for it. It's just the way it goes. Jesus. Jake is calling from Arcadia, California. Is that right, Jake?
Oh, it's Arcata.
Arcata, yeah, my bad. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Yeah, I think this port issue is a convenient distraction for the Bush White House. From a couple stories, first of all, you have a civil war in Iraq, you know, mission accomplished, Bush.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have the Vice President Cheney, who, while he was out drinking with a woman who was not his wife, Pamela Wilford, the Swiss Miss, U.S. Ambassador to Switzerland, he shoots his friend in the face with a shotgun. Yeah, as the Secret Service keep the sheriffs away until the following day so he doesn't have to take a blood alcohol level test. Yeah, you know, I think we know about Cheney and what he's up to. And the Bush administration, they have a lot of stories they want to distract from right about now. So I do think you're right on this whole thing.
Yeah, it's look, if it's the Bush crime family, if they told me it was 26 past midnight Eastern time, I would check my watch or call them a liar. Thanks, Jake. I appreciate your call.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You'll never find a Rolex watch in a superstore, or for that matter, an Orrick vacuum. That's because you're judged by the company you keep. If you want an amazingly powerful 8-pound Orrick vacuum, visit one of my Orrick stores, or call me at 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. It's worth the time, and it won't cost you a dime.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent one out of three heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
26 before the hour. We are just about finished with part two, chapter one, in George Orwell's 1984, when we left off Friday, I believe, after being passed a note from Julia that said, I love you. Winston and Julia decide to try to meet, and they meet in the middle of Victory Square, where they feel safe that they won't be detected. And in the as they meet, there's all sorts of excitement around the square because a convoy of prisoners happens to come into the square. Apparently, a new clutch of prisoners from Eurasia. A long line of trucks with wooden-faced guards armed with submachine guns standing upright in each corner was passing slowly down the street, and the truck's little yellow men in shabby greenish uniforms were squatting jammed close together. Their sad Mongolian faces gazed over the sides of the trucks, utterly incurious. Occasionally, when a truck jolted, there was a clank-clank of metal. All the prisoners were wearing leg irons. Truckload after truckload of the sad faces passed. Winston knew they were there, but he saw them only intermittently. The girl's shoulder and her right arm down to the elbow were pressed against his. Her cheek was almost near enough for him to feel its warmth. She had immediately taken charge of the situation, just as she had done in the canteen. She began speaking in the same expressionless voice as before, with lips barely moving, a mere murmur easily drowned by the din of voices and the rumbling of trucks.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you get Sunday afternoon off?
Yes.
Then listen carefully. You'll have to remember this. Go to Paddington Station.
With a sort of military precision that astonished him, she outlined the route that he was to follow. A half-hour railway journey, turn left outside the station, 2 kilometers along the road, a gate with the top bar missing, a path across a field, a grass-grown lane, a track between bushes, a dead tree with moss on it. It was as though she had a map inside her head.
Can you remember all of that?
She murmured finally. Yes.
You turn left, then right, then left again, and the gate's got no top bar.
Yes. What time?
About 15. You may have to wait. I'll get there by another way. Are you sure you remember everything?
Yes.
Then get away from me as quick as you can.
She need not have told him that. But for the moment, they could not extricate themselves from the crowd. The trucks were still filing past, the people still insatiably gaping. At the start, there had been a few boos and hisses, but it came only from the party members among the crowd, and it soon stopped. The prevailing emotion was simply curiosity. Foreigners, whether from Eurasia or from East Asia, were a kind of strange animal. One literally never saw them except in the guise of prisoners, and even as prisoners, one never got more than a momentary glimpse of them. Nor did one know what became of them, apart from the few who were hanged as war criminals. The others simply vanished, presumably into forced labor camps. The round Mongol faces had given way to faces of a more European type, dirty, bearded, and exhausted. From over scrubby cheekbones, eyes looked into Winston's, sometimes with strange intensity, and flashed away again. The convoy was drawing to an end. In the last truck, he could see an aged man, his face a mass of grizzled hair, standing upright with wrists crossed in front of him, as though he were used to having them bound together. It was almost time for Winston and the girl to part, but at the last moment, while the crowd still hemmed them in, her hand felt for his and gave it a fleeting squeeze. It could not have been 10 seconds, and yet it seemed a long time that their hands were clasped together. He had time to learn every detail of her hand. He explored the long fingers, the shapely nails, the work-hardened palm with its row of calluses, the smooth flesh under the wrist. Merely from feeling it, he would have known it by sight. In the same instant, it occurred to him that he did not know what color the girl's eyes were. They were probably brown, but people with dark hair sometimes had blue eyes. To turn his head and look at her would have been inconceivable folly. With hands locked together, invisible among the press of bodies, they stared steadily in front of them instead of the eyes of the girl. The eyes of the aged prisoner gazed mournfully at Winston out of nests of hair. Chapter 10.
Winston picked his way up the lane through dappled lights and shade, stepping out into pools of gold whenever the boughs parted. Under the trees to the left of him, the ground was misty with bluebells. The air seemed to kiss one's skin. It was the 2nd of May. From somewhere deep in the heart of the wood came the droning of ring doves. He was a bit early. There had been no difficulties about the journey, and the girl was so evidently experienced that he was less frightened than he would normally have been. Presumably, she could be trusted to find a safe place. In general, you could not assume that you were much safer in the country than in London. There were no telescreens, of course, but there was always the danger of concealed microphones by which your voice might be picked up and recognized. Besides, it was not easy to make a journey by yourself without attracting attention. For distances of less than 100 kilometers, it was not necessary to get your passport endorsed, but sometimes there were patrols hanging around the railway stations who examined the papers of any party member they found there and asked awkward questions. However, no patrols had appeared, and on the walk from the station he had made sure by cautious backward glances that he was not being followed. The train was full of proles in holiday mood because of the summery weather. The wooden-seated carriage in which he traveled was filled to overflowing by a single enormous family, ranging from a toothless great-grandmother to a month-old baby, going out to spend an afternoon with in-laws in the country, and as they freely explained to Winston, to get hold of a little black-market butter. The lane widened, and in a minute he came to the footpath she had told him of, a mere cattle track which plunged between the bushes. He had no watch, but it could not be 15 yet. The bluebells were so thick underfoot that it was impossible not to tread on them. He knelt down and began picking some, partly to pass the time away, but also from a vague idea that he would like to have a bunch of flowers to offer the girl when they met. He had got together a big bunch and was smelling their faint, sickly scent when a sound at his back froze him, the unmistakable crackle of a foot on twigs. He went on picking bluebells. It was the best thing to do. It might be the girl, or he might have been followed after all. To look round was to show guilt. He picked another and another. A hand fell lightly on his shoulder. He looked up. It was the girl. She shook her head, evidently as a warning that he must keep silent, then parted the bushes and quickly led the way along the narrow track into the wood. Obviously she had been that way before, for she dodged the boggy bits as though by habit. Winston followed, still clasping his bunch of flowers. His first feeling was relief, but as he watched the strong, slender body moving in front of him, with the scarlet sash that was just tight enough to bring out the curve of her hips, the sense of his own inferiority was heavy upon him. Even now it seemed quite likely that when she turned around and looked at him, she would draw back after all. The sweetness of the air and the greenness of the leaves daunted him. Already on the walk from the station, the May sunshine had made him feel dirty and etiolated, a creature of indoors with the sooty dust of London in the pores of his skin. It occurred to him that till now she had probably never seen him in broad daylight in the open. They came to the fallen tree that she had spoken of. The girl hopped over and forced apart the bushes, in which there did not seem to be an opening. When Winston followed her, he found that they were in a natural clearing, a tiny grassy knoll surrounded by tall saplings that shut it in completely. The girl stopped and turned.
"Here we are," she said.
He was facing her at several paces distance, and yet he did not dare move nearer to her.
"I didn't want to say anything in the lane,"
she went on,
"in case there's a mic hidden there. I don't suppose there is, but there could be. There's always the chance of one of those swine recognizing your voice. We're all right here."
He still had not the courage to approach her. "We're all right here?" he repeated stupidly.
"Yes, look at the trees."
They were small ashes which at some time had been cut down and had sprouted up again into a forest of poles, none of them thicker than one's wrist.
"There's nothing big enough to hide a mic in. Besides, I've been here before."
They were only making conversation. He had managed to move closer to her now. She stood before him very upright, with a smile on her face that looked faintly ironical, as though she were wondering why he was so slow to act. The bluebells had cascaded onto the ground. They seemed to have fallen of their own accord. He took her hand. "Would you believe," he said, "that till this moment I didn't know what color your eyes were?" They were brown, he noted, a rather light shade of brown with dark lashes. "Now that you've seen what I'm really like, can you still bear to look at me?"
"Yes, easily."
I'm 39 years old. I've got a wife that I can't get rid of. I've got varicose veins. I've got 5 false teeth."
"I couldn't care less,"
said the girl. The next moment, it was hard to say by whose act, she was in his arms. At the beginning, he had no feeling except sheer incredulity. The youthful body was strained against his own. The mass of dark hair was against his face. And yes, actually, she had turned her face up, and he was kissing the wide red mouth. She had clasped her arms around his neck and was calling him darling, precious one, loved one. He had pulled her down to the ground. She was utterly unresisting. He could do what he liked with her. But the truth was that he had no physical sensation except that of mere contact. All he felt was incredulity and pride. He was glad that this was happening, but he had no physical desire. It was too soon. Her youth and prettiness had frightened him. He was too much used to living without women. He did not know the reason. The girl picked herself up and pulled a bluebell out of her hair. She sat against him, putting her arm around his waist.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
I would not run from the Holocaust. I would not run from the bomb. I'd welcome the chance to meet my maker and fly into the sun. Fly into the sun.
It's 10 before the hour.
Thanks to the folks who made the program possible tonight in New York. Justin Nguyen and Zach March engineered. D. Neal handled the calls and is our associate producer. Also blogs for us at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. And just very quickly, rest in peace, Don Knotts, Darren McGavin, and Dennis Weaver. Suzanne is calling from Atlanta. Suzanne, welcome to the program. Hey, Suzanne. Suzanne, are you there? Okay, let's put Suzanne on hold and go to Les in Tennessee. Les, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir, and happy Monday to you.
Oh, the same to you.
You stole my thunder there, partner.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Straw Man.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Because according to my man McNally, I picked this up for a buck. What a deal. It's at the south shore of the, what do you call it, the Gulf, Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's uninhabitable swampland. And the size of it looks like I'd lose out if I bid against Donald Trump for a building lot down the shore, you know.
Yeah.
It's Iraq, Iran, or any of those guys could just knock them out in about an hour.
Huh.
So that's what it looks like on his map, so you might want to check it out.
All right.
And, you know, I really don't care what president got the mule in the ditch. It's up to us to get it out.
Well, that's the truth.
Good. Listen, have a good night.
Thank you, Les. Good to hear from you. Take care. Joe is calling from Miami. Joe,
hey, Mike,
welcome.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Joe.
Real quick before I get to the air, I saw a good bumper sticker. It said Bush equals deficit, Iraq, and $3 gas.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, listen, these guys are smart. I give them credit. I think the Carlyle Group is a silent investor. And if you look at the East Coast, there's 70% of these ships coming here are tankers from the Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the LNGs that are going to be bringing in. Talk about bombs. So they figured, hey, why let the British unload these ships and get the money? They'll take the money for unloading the ships. And guess what? You get the empty oil tankers to go back to put the money on. Take it easy,
man. All right. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, you get them coming and going. I know. Geronimo is calling from Maine. Is that right, Geronimo?
Yes, Orchard Beach, Maine.
Hey.
WLVP AM 870.
Well, wonderful.
Port security, think off-the-shelf proprietary asset.
Okay.
When a 100-plus-year-old British conglomerate has lawyers trade paper and stocks and maybe money, it only appears to disappear but does not really dissolve. It just camouflages itself to avoid corporate responsibility to pay for catastrophes. So I wonder, is P&O the same British business, or does it share revolving boards of directors with the British security firm that allowed several terrorists on 9/11 to hijack two jumbo jets from Boston Logan Airport to smash into the World Trade Towers? Because the Boston Phoenix newspaper, before 9/11, investigated bad security at Logan, then did a conference call with the airport, the security firm, and with Bush's Federal Aviation Administration. They were told, the editor and the reporter, don't worry, be happy, security would be improved. That was 2 weeks before 9/11, 2001. So, ever since 1776, I guess they have hated our freedom.
Geronimo, you're way ahead of whatever's in second place.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. That's great. GP is calling from Sacramento. GP, welcome to the program.
Yeah, welcome. Hey, you know about Hatfield, right?
Yeah, the guy that sent the anthrax around, or...
Yeah, exactly. So whatever happened to that guy?
I have no idea. I don't even know that he did it. He was just one that they decided to... I don't know. I started getting the feeling that Hatfield was like some of the detainees at Guantanamo. You know, didn't know why he was there. On the other hand, I've read some stuff that said Hatfield was the obvious, through deductive reasoning, I guess,
because
obvious...
Because of the Africa incidents.
the obvious suspect. I don't know. The anthrax investigation is gone, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, I just got something to say. I mean, these guys have this administration. How can anybody listen to these people if they have zero credibility?
Because we live in America, and I've said this before, GP, America comprises, for the most part, the largest collection of brain-dead, apolitical morons ever put together on one continent. We are easily motivated by fear, stupidity, greed, and lust.
It's feared down by 2% of the... It's a propaganda machine.
Well, it is, indeed.
Just because the polls say 50% about. A what? 50% of the people approve of Bush? Come on. You've got to be kidding me.
No, that's down to 34%. And please. I don't understand how...
Which 34% are you talking to?
I don't know. Maybe just people in Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana. I don't know. I have no idea. When I see those polls, I just think to myself, how... Can 3.3 people out of 10, or 3.4 people out of 10, still believe that George Bush is nothing but a giggling killer? I have no idea. Well, this has been an interesting program tonight, if I do say so myself. Thanks to all the Atlanta Democratic Underground gang that got together last Saturday. I mentioned it at the beginning of the program, but... it was great fun. We'll do it again sometime. I'll see you tomorrow night. Oh, by the way, I think Friday, is it Friday, Kathy? I'll be substituting for Randy Rhodes, maybe. And Monday and Tuesday of next week for sure. So I don't know who's going to be sitting in here. I guess in a real sense, it really doesn't matter. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie de eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.